AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
Hello and welcome to yet another edition of the Cancer Awareness Month here on Joy 99.7 FM. My name is Kojo Akoto-Boateng, and today we have another conversation on the Cancer Awareness Month. Remember, yesterday the conversation was on colorectal cancers. Today we are going deeper to talk about another form of cancer which is killing a lot of us. Is the liver cancer. Now, liver cancer in Ghana is closely linked to hepatitis B, which a lot of us are aware of, and it makes it largely preventable through vaccination. Now, on this episode, we will be explaining liver cancer to you, hepatitis as well, and we'll give you the connection between the two. And we'll also be talking about the risk factors, prevention strategies, and treatment options, including the potential for liver transplantation. And my guest is a surgeon at the Kolebu Teaching Hospital. Dr. Asare Ofer is our guest on this episode of the Cancer Awareness Month. Doc, welcome to the Joy Cancer Awareness Month. I hope you are well.
Yes, thank you. And thank you also to your listeners. Yes, I'm happy to be here.
You know, within this series, I've heard about different type of doctors. I knew of the GP, I knew the OB and gynae, I knew of surgeons, but now I know colorectal surgeons, I know anatomic physicians, I know all sorts of things. What are you as a doctor?
So I'm a surgeon, and so surgeons are grouped into various specialties. So my group, we are general surgeons, and in the general surgeons, we have a group that deals with liver, pancreas, and the bile ducts. They are called the hepatobiliary surgeons. So that's my specialty. So the colorectal surgeons are a group under the general surgeons who deal with the large intestines and the rectum. Yes. So mine is liver, pancreas, and then the gallbladder.
And so what was the technical name for the type of surgeon you are?
So it's called a hepatobiliary surgeon.
A B. Wow, we are learning new things every day. So, you guys deal with the liver?
Yes, mainly liver.
So I know the liver and the pancreas and other organs are related. Do you look at some of those other organs as well?
Oh yes. So the pancreas is located very close to the liver. And it's connected to the liver by the bile ducts and also the gallbladder in the same area. So you can't separate them. So diseases affect each other. And so the main area, we deal with all these organs in that space.
So explain to us what liver cancer is and how common it is in Ghana. And why should we as Ghanaians be particularly concerned about liver cancer?
Yes, so thank you very much. Cancer, as the name implies, is a type of cancer that starts from the liver. So we have several subtypes. So the liver has several cells. So the liver cells, there are cells from the bile ducts, they are from fatty tissue and other stretch liver. So if the cancer starts from any of these structures, it will have a different name. And so once it's starting from the liver, we term all of them primary liver cancers. But the one that are starting from the liver cells, we call the hepatocytes, is the commonest one and the most predominant one. So that one is called the hepatocellular cancers. So they form about 70 to 80% of all the cancers coming from the liver. There is another structure, which is the bile duct, which is also found in the liver. When the cancer starts from that area, then we call that cholangiocarcinoma. It's another type of cancer. So any cancer that is starting from the liver will have the name liver cancer. But the common ones that kills a lot of our people, which we all have, it has taken the whole name of liver cancer, is the hepatocellular cancer. In other words, we shorten it as HCC. So most areas you will see HCC is a hepatocellular cancer, and it forms about 80% or more of all the cancers starting from the liver. And that is the one related to the hepatitis B virus.
Mm. Now, when you mentioned the HEPA, I immediately connected it to hepatitis B. But what's really the relationship between hepatitis B and liver cancer? How does hepatitis B lead to liver cancer?
So what happens is that the liver cancer is caused by several agents, one of them being the hepatitis B, and the most important because it's a leading one in Ghana. So hepatitis is a virus that you get into your body through blood contacts or sexual contacts, or you are born with it. So if a mother is positive for hepatitis B and it's not controlled, it's not treated, the mother can give it to the child. So the child can be born with hepatitis B. And also, if there's any sexual contact with a positive male or female, you can transfer it to your partner. And then if there's any blood transfusion or using of sharp objects from that an infected person, you can also get hepatitis B. So it's so similar to how you get HIV infection. So this hepatitis B, when it gets into your body, it goes into your liver and it starts to cause inflammation. It starts to injure the liver cells. So once the liver cells get injured, then they begin to heal themselves. So the injury and healing cause a change, overall change in the whole cell type. And then an abnormal growth begins to happen. So this injury and healing, which we call inflammation and healing, will lead to fibrosis. And so that fibrosis, the whole liver will turn to this nature of fibrosis. And then we're calling that disease cirrhosis. And the cirrhosis, they present themselves as nodules. So these are round, swellings. And these round swellings grow and change into liver cancer. So it means that if you have the hepatitis B, it's a process that will lead to your liver changing into cirrhosis. And that cirrhosis will also change into cancer. In some cases, the hepatitis effects of the inflammation will change the liver cells directly into cancer without even changing into cirrhosis. So then hepatitis B becomes an important factor in making sure that you get liver cancer. But as we said, there are other contributing factors or risk factors which are involved in the causation of liver cancer.
So basically, hepatitis B distorts the regular equilibrium in the liver, which then would result in changes in the liver structure, and continuous existence of these changes then results in cancers possibly developing in the liver. If I get
exactly.
You right. What about hepatitis C?
So hepatitis C is also another virus similar to the hepatitis B that you also get through the same means as you get the hepatitis B. And it also will cause cancer through the same process by changing the liver into cirrhosis. And then the cirrhosis will change, or the fibrosis will change into cancer. So we see that these two viruses have the same mechanism of causing cancer in the liver. And then we see that how they occur in different parts of Ghana or different parts of the world differ. So in Ghana, we have more of the cancers being hepatitis B, and then to a lesser extent, hepatitis C. But you notice a difference is that the hepatitis B virus can cause cancer without changing your liver into cirrhosis or fibrosis. Whereas the hepatitis C can only cause the cancer by changing your liver through the cirrhosis or fibrosis first. So that's the only difference.
So if I understand you very well, hepatitis B contributes to about 80% of the liver cancer cases that we have in the country. Is that the case?
Yes. Yes, that's the case. So you see that there's studies and the research that has been done in Ghana in this area. Almost all the people who die from liver cancer, you see that about 80% to 85% of them, it was related to hepatitis B. So it's a major leading cause of the liver cancer in Ghana. And the hepatitis C to a lesser extent, and then aflatoxins and metabolic disease, fatty liver, those ones cause to a lesser extent. But the majority of them, about 80 to 85% of the liver cancers, are caused by hepatitis B virus.
Before we get to the other risk factors, maybe we should stay on hepatitis a little bit more. So how do we fight hepatitis B? How do we prevent it?
So hepatitis B is preventable through vaccination. That means that if you are negative hepatitis B, all you need to do is to have a vaccine, 3 doses, and then your body will be able to produce antibodies against the infection. It means that you stand a lesser risk of getting the infection if it comes in, you come into contact with it, because the antibodies are there to fight it. So the vaccine are in 3 doses. So you take one, in about a month's time, you take your second dose. In 3 months' time, you take your 3rd dose. Then you have completed that. So it's able to protect you for the next 10 years. At every point in time, you are capable of testing the antibody levels to see whether they are okay. If they are less than required, you will be advised to have a booster vaccine. If the levels are fine, then you are okay. So this is one of the ways, or the main way, you can prevent hepatitis B infection. The other ways are your lifestyle changes. We know that it's through blood contact. So you just have to make sure the sharps used by other people, you don't also use them. You just have to make sure that you have protective sexual intercourse, because if the person is positive with a high viral load, you can get the hepatitis B. If you are pregnant, you have to make sure that you test for hepatitis B at the antenatal clinic. And if you are positive, they will give you interventions that will make sure that you don't transfer to the child. So the most important thing is vaccination for anyone who is negative for hepatitis B.
At what point should people get vaccinated? Who qualifies to be vaccinated? Can we vaccinate children? Is it at a certain age in life? Like, for example, on colorectal cancers, we are told that at 45 and above, you should be testing every 5 years, for example. So when it comes to hepatitis B, at what point should people get vaccinated? At what point should we be alarmed?
So for hepatitis B, the vaccination is part of the childhood vaccines that are provided by the Ghana Health Service. So this has been going on for the past 15, 20 years. So it means that if you are born in the last 15, 20 years or more, when this program had already started, when you are going for weighing, like the mothers send their children for weighing, those processes, the vaccine that you are giving, the hepatitis B, is already there. But if by some means your location or access, you miss this weighing and vaccination, it means that that child is not protected. It means that child must be, at whatever age you are, you can have the vaccine taken, because it's even given at childhood. So there's no age limit at which you can say this person can take or this person cannot take, because even at that, you can be given. So if you, at any point in time, whatever your age, if you realize you are negative, you need to go for the vaccination. So there's no age limit. So most people who miss the childhood vaccination, and then through some screening, they find that they are negative, then it's a time to also ask for the vaccination as well.
Great. This is good to know. This is good to know. So if you're listening to us, go to the hospital, get tested, and try to take the vaccine if you don't have any record of taking the vaccine. This way, we prevent hepatitis, which causes about 80% of liver cancers. Doc, you mentioned other risk factors like aflatoxins and obesity, diabetes. Can you take us through the other risk factors when it comes to liver cancer?
Yes. So aflatoxin is a chemical that you get from fungus, those molds that grow on maize, groundnuts, and other cereals. So they secrete a lot of chemicals. One of them is called aflatoxin B1. So this aflatoxin directly will cause injury to the liver cells and change them into cancer. So when you eat them, because it's part of the food you are eating, then you stand a higher chance of getting liver cancer. And then you won't know whether the fungus that has grown on your kinke or your banku or your stored food, you will not know. So the best way is that make sure you don't have molds on this and any of your foods. And then make sure you store your food well or you heat them before consuming them. So because it's a major risk factor that cannot be routinely tested, or you can't even know, because there are only few labs with the capability to even test for the aflatoxin levels in Ghana. So it means that if you go to a regular lab, you can't test for aflatoxin, whether in your food or in your blood, unless a specialized lab. So the only way is that know that all the fungal growths on your food, maize, groundnuts, kinke, are potential sources of aflatoxin. So don't eat them or store them such that fungus won't be able to grow on them.
So the people who see fungus on kinke and they take the knife and cut all the fungus and eat it and say African germs are not harmful, they are putting themselves at risk, right?
A very high risk, because it's not what you are cutting off, because the liquid or the chemical has already dissipated deeper than you are cutting. So don't just cut, either discard it or make sure you don't have any food item that has the fungus growing on them. But let me quickly add that there are several of them, and most of them don't even secrete. They secrete chemicals, but not this aflatoxin. So you will see people who say, oh, by having eaten this fungus, the molds on my food, I don't get liver cancer. Probably the ones that are on your molds are not secreting the aflatoxin B1. But how would you know that this mold is the one secreting or not? The molds that secrete are aspergillus type, but you can't by your eye know the difference. So just avoid that molds are on your food. Yes. So you see that we talk about diabetes, fatty liver, and others also causing liver cancer. So this all, we group it as something we call metabolic diseases. So as long as diabetes is one of them, so the processes involved in diabetes will lead to deposition of fat, high cholesterol in your body. And thus all this will lead to high fat deposition in your liver. So when you have fat depositing in your liver, what it does is it undergoes inflammation. The same process that when you get the hepatitis B, you undergo. So this inflammation will heal. And then inflammation, another time, it will heal. So then what happens is healing will lead to fibrosis. And the fibrosis will now is what we are terming as advanced fibrosis, cirrhosis. And the cirrhosis will now lead to cancer. So the pathway of the liver becoming fibrotic is through fatty liver, high cholesterol, diabetes, hypertension, all the diseases that will eventually lead to fatty liver will continue with fibrosis and liver cancer. So there are several of them that you can term commonly diabetes and high cholesterol will contribute to liver cancer in the future.
So basically, any lifestyle, any disease that puts stress on the liver can also lead to liver cancers, including excessive alcohol use, like we are seeing these days in the country.
Yes, so the alcohol is an independent and a separate risk factor, which will cause injury. Once you take alcohol, it directly causes injury to your liver. So that injury, the liver begins to heal. So it also leads to cirrhosis. So there are some people that alcohol intake will lead to cirrhosis. And then every cirrhosis is a risk for the liver cancer. So once you take alcohol, you stand a risk of getting cirrhosis. And then the cirrhosis will now lead to cancer. So alcohol is one of the risk factors, major one, that causes cirrhosis and liver cancer. And then the other lifestyle changes, diet, obesity, they all will lead to excessive fatty liver, cholesterol, and then this will lead to inflammation and fibrosis. Then you are getting liver cancer from the cirrhosis.
This is the Joy Cancer Awareness Month. Our guest is Dr. Asarefe, surgeon at the Kolebu Teaching Hospital. And we are talking about liver cancer. So far, he's defined and explained what it is. He's explained the risk factors. He's gone deeper into hepatitis B, one of the main leading causes of liver cancer, about 80% of the cases. And he's also explained how aflatoxins, obesity, diabetes, excessive alcohol use all lead to liver cancer. But Doc, you know, a lot of people don't check, they don't get screened, they just walk around always feeling okay that there's nothing wrong. But what are some of the things we need to look out for as warning signs or symptoms of liver cancer that should ring the alarm in our heads for us to take action?
Yes, thank you very much. So this is an important point that everybody must note, that there will be no warning as far as liver cancer is concerned. Whenever you see anything or you feel anything that is a warning, it means the liver cancer is advanced. And so once that happens, then you are in trouble. So how will you know when it is early liver cancer or it has just started? The only way you can know is by screening. What do I mean by screening? It means that if you have any of the risk factors, you have to continuously be checking your liver whether the cancer is there or not. So anybody who is hepatitis B positive, hepatitis C positive, or you have ever been told that you have fatty liver, or you know that you take excessive alcohol, or you have diabetes, all these risk factors, then every 3 to 6 months, you have to check your liver for cancer. And that is done through scan. And certain blood tests we will discuss along the line. So the only way you can know that liver cancer has occurred and it's early and it's treatable or curable is by regular check or screening or surveillance. But the moment you have any symptom of liver cancer, it is likely to be an advanced disease that may not be curable. And what are those symptoms that we can feel? The important one is pain. You will feel pain at the area where the liver lies, which is the right side of your tummy, the upper part. That's where the liver is. So if you feel severe pain that you take painkillers, it doesn't resolve, it wakes you up, you feel uncomfortable, that severe pain is likely to be also related to the liver. And as you know, there are several structures around the liver. So you won't even know which one. This is non-specific. But any severe pain on your right side may be a sign that there's a cancer developing in the liver and you need to quickly go and do a scan to check. And as is a general rule for or most of the cancers, you will lose weight. So you will see that aside the pain, over a period, you see that you are eating normally, but you've lost weight. So weight lost, it's a sign that you are having a disease that is eating your muscles, your body energy. So one of them is liver cancer. So weight loss can also be a sign that you have liver cancer. And then you see that because the cancer is growing bigger, it will push your tummy to become bigger. So you feel that, you know, that your tummy has lifted up, it's become a bit bigger because something is pushing from inside. So abdominal distension or bloating can be an early sign showing that something is becoming bigger from inside.
Our pot bellies should be examined, eh?
No, not this is very different from pot belly. You will see that all of a sudden you feel that you can feel that the upper part of your tummy is swollen. Even not the lower part, just the upper part is swollen.
Gets into his chest.
get into your chest.
Okay.
Which is so abnormal and not typical of the pot belly type. And sometimes you can even feel that there's a swelling there that is hard, because most of them become so big. And that will also tell you that, yes, you are feeling some swelling. And then you go to hospital and say, I can feel a swelling here. They will do a scan and tell you this is liver cancer. So these are the signs and the symptoms that will alert you that this you are having liver cancer. But in about 90% of the time, when these things occur, the cancer is advanced and not treatable.
So abdominal pain, swelling, unexplained weight loss, fatigue, jaundice, is it one of the things we need to look out for?
Yes. So these are things that occur when the liver starts failing.
Okay.
Then your eyes become yellow. We call that jaundice. So they are all signs of advanced disease. The most people, when it starts, you hardly see them that they get fatigue. So, and fatigue can pass for so many diseases. But the moment you feel so easily tired like that, the disease is so advanced, your liver is not functioning well, so you don't have energy. Yes, you will see that sometimes even water collects in your tummy. We call it ascites, because the liver is failing, so it's not able to hold or drain the water. Your feet become swollen. So all this swollen feet and all this ascites may also be related to kidney disease, heart disease, and other things. So they are non-specific for liver cancer, but they also occur when you have advanced liver cancer.
How is screening done for liver cancer?
Yes. So for screening liver cancer, the important thing is a test for the risk factors. So hepatitis B, you have to test. Hepatitis C, you have to test. And then a scan of your liver, normally an ultrasound, can be done of your liver. This ultrasound has the capability to see any solid swellings, whether it's cancer in your liver, it will see. If there's cirrhosis, it will see. If there's any fluid, anything in your liver, it will see. So that's one of the important tests you need to do, ultrasound of your liver. And then liver cancer, when it occurs, it secretes in about 70 to 80% of the time, it secretes some chemical, we call it alpha fetoprotein. So the level of alpha fetoprotein is so small, in about less than 10. So if you test that level, alpha fetoprotein in your blood at any point in time, and it's gone high, it's a signal that there's cancer that is secreting it. So then you begin to look for where the cancer is, whether it is there or not. So as part of the screening, the alpha fetoprotein is also done. And then when you are hepatitis B, once you know it's positive, you are not going to continuously do to test whether you are positive or negative, but rather what you are going to do during the screening period is the viral load. How much of the virus is multiplying in your blood at the point in time? That's called the viral load. So that is done. And if your viral load is high, then it means that your risk of developing the cancer is also very high compared to somebody who is positive and the viral load is low or zero. That person has a lower risk of developing the cancer. So the test you have to do is to do the viral load for the hepatitis B, do the alpha fetoprotein in your blood to check whether it is going up or it's normal, and then do ultrasound of your liver to check whether there is a swelling there which represents liver cancer or not. So these three basic ones are very important in the screening process. You can walk to any hospital and it will be done for you.
So if I'm living with hepatitis and I'm on my meds, it reduces my risk of getting liver cancer?
Yes. As long as the viral load is zero, your risk is very low.
Now, let's go to treatment. What are the treatment options for liver cancer? So far, we've learned that when it comes to cancers, there is a surgical option, there is the chemo, there is the radiation. What options are there for liver cancer?
Yes, so for liver cancer, the mainstay of treatment is surgery to remove the cancer or to replace the liver. So there are two main types of surgery that are possible. You remove the cancer from the part of the liver that has affected, and then you leave the rest of the liver. The liver naturally has the capability to regenerate. It means it will grow back when you cut it. In that case, part of the liver that is cancerous, when you take it out, within 3 to 4 months, it regenerates to replace itself. So you have a normal size. But in situations where the cancer is there, but the rest of the liver is cirrhotic, it's not healthy. In that case, you cannot operate on a cirrhotic liver. It won't function. It will fail. So then it warrants you removing the whole liver and replacing it with a new liver, and that is liver transplant. So in a few situations, liver transplant is possible for cancer because when the cancer is too big, you cannot do liver transplant because in that case, there's a higher chance that the cancer will come back in the new liver you have put there. So there are only small sizes of cancer with cirrhosis that will qualify for liver transplantation. But the majority of the cases, liver resection or hepatectomy will be sufficient to treat the liver cancer. So this is surgery one modality. The second modality is chemotherapy, as we have said. So there are tablets and infusions that work specifically on the liver cancer cells and also modify the blood vessels that supply the cancer cells to deny them of blood so that they die. So this is also another means you can use. There's another modified form of therapy or chemotherapy we call immunotherapy. And this one, it's also by infusion, but it works differently. It will stimulate your immune system to fight the cancer cells. And so that's a newer modality of treatment and seem to be giving better results than the conventional chemotherapies that are available for liver cancers. There are instances where radiotherapy, you apply radiation directly onto the cancer in the liver to kill the cancer cells. It's also employed in some cases of the liver cancers. And all this that we're talking about are situations where the surgery is not possible. And so you use this other means. So we must all note that when the surgery is not possible and all these other means are being used, then the target is not to cure you, but to provide you a better quality of life and to prolong your life because the cancer is being controlled but not cured. The last modality that exists is also a form of chemotherapy and radiotherapy that are delivered through the blood vessels to block the blood that is going to where the cancer is. The cancer will not have the blood. Or introduce radiotherapy in the form of a capsule through the blood to directly affect only that site where the cancer is. So these are relatively newer in environments, but used frequently outside the country for liver cancers.
Where can people go to get tested and treated?
So you can walk to any hospital for testing. Hepatitis B test, ultrasound scan test, alpha fetal protein is so basic that almost every level of hospital will be able to do for you. So once you walk to any health center, no matter the level, they are capable of doing this test for you. But the interpretation of the test requires that you meet somebody who has the knowledge, because the risk is that many of the patients who come with liver cancer 5, 4, 5, 6, 7 years ago, they did this CD test and they were told that the virus is inactive. And so they went to sleep, only to have liver cancer 4 or 5 years later. So it means that there was a problem with the interpretation when the person did the test. So it's important that you visit a center or a physician who has the knowledge, expertise to advise you well. There's nothing like inactive virus forever. Inactive only means that at the time you did the test, the viral load is low or negative or undetected. So at that point in time, it's inactive. In 6 months' time, when you do the test, you will have a different picture. The viral load may be in the roof. So if you had gone to sleep and the viral load has gone onto the roof in 6 months' time, it was only taking the next few years for it to destroy the liver into cancer when you were thinking that it was inactive. So never take inactive as a Bible text and follow it. Continue to do the test periodically every 6 months. And all this screening you have to do, you don't have to go beyond 6 months. minimum 3 months, but maximum within 3 to 6 months, you must repeat the tests because there's enough evidence that the virus can be undetected now, but in 3 months that you start multiplying.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
to catch it and go for the treatment, you need to do the test every 6 months.
Okay. Now, Doc, before I let you go, what are the numbers? How many cases are we recording every year? And what are the survival rates? How many people are we losing to liver cancer?
So we know that liver cancer in Ghana is the third commonest cancer that we find. So breast cancer, now, if you look at all the cases, that's the cancer cases that we see in the new ones, the new cases, breast cancer is leading, cervical cancer is second, and then liver cancer is third. But then if you look at the mortality rates, then liver cancer jumps to number one. So the number of people who get liver cancer in a year, about 90% of them will die in the same year because of advanced disease. So it is lethal, very, very lethal. And it's only treatable when you have early disease. And if you look at our empirical data, about, if you take 100% of all the liver cancers that are referred to my center for treatment, we just have about 15 to 20% of them that are early enough and amenable to surgery. It's about more than 80% of the time. It's so advanced and requires just palliative care. Mm. And so within 3 months, all of them would die.
Those are some scary figures, but...
Oh, yes. It's a very saying.
We need to work hard to fight liver cancers. It's been great talking to you, Dr. Asarafe.